Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, a conversation with Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast about how sobriety has impacted her music. And we're going to hear about the song that got Clay Frankel of the Chicago band Twin Peaks to fall in love with music. But first, songs about history.
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio. Gotta get down to it. Soldiers are cutting us down. Should have been done long ago. What if you do?
Greg, that, of course, is a little bit of the classic Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, Ohio. This month marked the 50th anniversary of the Kent State shootings, that horrific incident that left 4 dead and 9 injured in 1970. Within weeks of that campus shooting, CSNNY had produced, recorded, Neil Young had written Ohio, one of the greatest protest anthems of all time, and it was out and in record stores, soon on its way to the top of the charts. We wanted to share some of our other favorite songs about historical people, places, and events, and Mr. Cott, you were going to kick us off.
Yeah, Jim, when we started kicking this idea around, the first song that popped into my head was by Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That song came out in the mid-70s, and it haunts me still. I just think it's a incredibly well-written song with a haunting arrangement. What it was a song about the sinking of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior in November of 1975. Lightfoot read about it in a Newsweek article and was moved by it, what happened here. This freighter with a full cargo of iron ore running into the severe winter storm, a near hurricane force winds, 35-foot waves, the crew of 29 all perished. No bodies were ever recovered. A true tragedy. And, you know, in the history of songs about historical events, you know, you think about the purpose of songs. They were to create sort of a living history, to tell the stories that maybe have been forgotten or would never be told in the first place. In this case, I think Lightfoot thought, you know, let's create a song here that memorializes these people who lost their lives. In fact, the captain of the freighter was supposedly going to be his last voyage. He was going to retire after this trip and obviously never got there. I think a couple of things make this song for me. First of all, the way the band accompanies him, the empathy that is in that recording. There's a pedal steel player by the name of Pee Wee Charles on the song. Ed Ringwald is his real name, but everybody knew him as Pee Wee Charles. And then the guitarist, Terry Clements, right? These two guys embroidered Lightfoot's lyrics with these really haunting, reverberating riffs that, to my mind, make this such a haunting masterpiece. It's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot on Sound Opinions.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitchagumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? Bending the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the Witch of November come stealing.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. You know, the legend lives on, Greg, from the Chippewa on down. Mm-hmm. You are the world's biggest Gordon Lightfoot fan, at least that I know. And I'm with you on that song. You know, my first history track pick comes from the great Robin Hitchcock. We could literally play a different Robin Hitchcock song every episode of Sound Opinions for a year, and we wouldn't exhaust a third of his catalog. But yeah. Cynthia Mask is the song that sticks with me when it comes to history. His eighth studio album, fourth solo record. This is in the period in the late 80s, early 90s, when Robin Hitchcock is playing with a great band, the Egyptians. But he made this solo record, which is very stripped down, him and acoustic guitar mostly, as sort of a sequel to I Often Dream of Trains in 1984, came out in 1990, and the song Cynthia Mask kicks off the album. In typical Hitchcock surrealist Dada songwriter style, it's hard to say what Cynthia Mask is about. I would venture a guess and say it's about posing as something in public that is very different from what you actually are. But he gives two shout-outs, one to my all-time favorite historical figure. I have a tattoo. Napoleon wore a black hat, ate lots of chicken, conquered half Europe. Napoleon was caught by the British, imprisoned on Elba. He died on the phone. Actually, phones weren't invented yet. Somewhat less nobly, Neville Chamberlain, the famous prime minister of the UK, who went to meet with Hitler in Munich and waved a piece of paper at the camera, according to Hitchcock and according to history, "Thank you, Herr Hitler, we have peace in our time," turned out not to be true. I think Hitchcock is playing with, again, you know, public persona versus private reality. Either way, it's an incredible song, and Napoleon really did. He would devour an entire chicken. Apparently, he could only spare like 3 or 4 minutes for dinner every night. He was too much of a genius inventing the legal system of Europe, the euro, you know, and waging war. Not so nobly, but anyway, Cynthia Mask by Robin Hitchcock on Sound Opinions.
Napoleon wore a black hat, ate lots of chicken, and conquered half Europe. Napoleon was caught by the British, imprisoned on Elba, he died on the phone. Chamberlain came crawling from Munich with one piece of paper. He waved at the camera, "Peace in our time. Oh, thank you, Herr Hitler. Tell that to the Polish. Tell that to the Jews." You take your babes up to the bathroom, and then you lead them into the bedroom. Narrowly, babes, for pleasure and profit, correctly applied, could bring good results. Cynthia Mask, you're wearing a Cynthia Mask. Cynthia Mask.
Cynthia Mask by Robin Hitchcock. Jim, I think Robin's got a song for every moment. There is no moment that has gone by that Robin couldn't write a song about.
Whenever we do a list show, I can always find a Robin Hitchcock song or a Neil Young song.
A brilliant artist, without a doubt. My next historical song is 99 Luftballons, or 99 Red Balloons, as it is known in its English language version, by the German band Nina. It was a number one hit across the world in 1983-84. I think one of the reasons it struck such a chord is that it came at a very fragile time in the world's history, really. The height of the Cold War between the West and the Soviet Union, set off by that Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in 1979, and the heightened potential for a nuclear war hadn't been experienced in this way since the Cuban Missile Crisis, I think, 20 years earlier. So it came from a specific image that one of the song's co-writers witnessed at a Rolling Stones concert in West Berlin in the early 80s. In the middle of the concert, the Stones let loose these balloons. And he kind of imagined, okay, here we are in West Berlin. What would happen if those balloons floated over East Berlin? And then his imagination took over. Okay, somebody in East Berlin, you know, notices these UFOs, doesn't know exactly what this is. They're mistakenly perceived as a threat, resulting at the end of it as a nuclear war. And, you know, that may seem totally far-fetched, but at the time, this level of paranoia was pretty deep around the world. And, you know, you talk about a fault line for the Cold War. You can't get any deeper than the Berlin Wall dividing East and West in Germany. So 99 red balloons launched on one side of the divide, and here we have this nuclear war. Again, one of those notions that seems now kind of silly, but at the time, it seemed viable. Anything could have triggered a war. We had people in power, Reagan in America, Thatcher in England, the Soviets in Afghanistan. It was a troubled time for the world. 99 Luftballons. Here's the English language version. 99 red balloons from Nina on Sound of Music.
99 red balloons floating in the summer sky. Panic bad, that's red alert. There's something here from somewhere else. The war machine springs to life, opens up one eager eye, focusing it on the sky. 99 red balloons go by.
"99 Luftballons" by Nina, Greg, a classic of the Cold War. I prefer the German version, but they're both great. I'm actually going to tread on some Greg Kot turf here with my next pick, which is Uncle Tupelo's "New Madrid" from the album Anodyne, the fourth and final release by Uncle Tupelo. He wrote a book about those fellows, as well as Wilco, Jeff Tweedy's band that followed it. I was never a huge Uncle Tupelo fan. I know that's sacrilege in some corners. Until I heard Anodyne, and New Madrid was the song that jumped out at me. You know, everybody had their money on Jay Farrar as the genius of Tupelo. His pal Jeff Tweedy was the other guy. I never thought so, not after New Madrid. And I love a song. As a huge history buff, we should tell listeners, you and me both read voraciously a lot of history, not just music, but all history. I'd never heard of the great New Madrid earthquakes of 1811 to 1812, the New Madrid fault line in Missouri on a bend in the Kentucky bend of the Mississippi River. These earthquakes that struck in 1811 were so powerful, they actually turned the direction of the Mississippi River for some time. And there was an early geologist who kept predicting, Ibn Browning, that there was going to be an apocalypse in the heart of the country when the New Madrid Fault again triggered another great earthquake. So Tweedy takes this and conflates it with a heartbreak story, a love lost, and kind of compares it to the apocalypse of the earthquake that isn't coming. Browning gets a shout out, has a prediction. They've all been told, he says, these earthquakes are coming. He sings at one point, the rivers burn and then run backwards. Oh, that's true. I had no idea what it was about. I had to look up New Madrid. The Native American people believe that it was a sign from their spiritual source that they should begin joining together to fight the white man's incursion. That actually didn't happen. I went down one of those rabbit holes thanks to Jeff Tweedy. Great song, fascinating history, Uncle Tupelo's New Madrid.
All my daydreams are disasters. She's the one I think I love. Rivers burn and then run backwards for her. That's enough.
Madrid by Uncle Tupelo, one of Jim DeRogatis' history songs. When we return, we've got more songs about history. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
If I were Napoleon,